You're listening to Channel U.
Dogs flew spaceships. Architects invented the vacation. Men and women are the same sex. Our forefathers took drugs. Your brain is not the boss.
Yes.
That's right.
Everything you know is wrong.
Welcome to the mystery and magic of Channel U Network. Do you know that things aren't as they seem? Are you conscious of their attempted mind control scheme? Are you seeking others to create a team? Are you thirsty to think from a really clear stream? That's why you are here at Channel U. From the mysteries of outer space to spiritual healing. From the depths of the ocean to the heavenly ceiling. To the dreams that reveal your innermost feeling. Close your eyes. Breathe deep. We are connected to Channel U.
From the deserts of the Great Southwest, you're listening to Jerry Wills, Horizon to Horizon on Channel U, Internet Radio.
Hello, everyone. It's Sunday evening, and I'm broadcasting to you from the Great Southwest here in Phoenix, Arizona, where it's still hot. So if you guys are out there listening to me and it's a nice, cool evening where you are, well, have a little sympathy for the guy sitting here in the air-conditioned studio. We can't open the windows yet because it's still too blasted hot for that sort of thing. Since the last program, I've received a few emails from folks who are curious about things they can do to improve their health, and I've received a few emails from those of you who have concerns that you'd like me to address, and I'm going to address them tonight here on this show. There were only two or three, so it isn't going to take up the entire show to do it, but if I receive enough from those of you out there listening, I will consume the entire hour discussing the problems and the solutions. As you know, I'm a medical intuitive, and what that means is that sometimes where medical science can't quite fathom what's wrong with you, I can usually tell you what's going on with a great degree of accuracy. This has been validated by doctors, and well, the results have been, I guess, just short of miraculous. At least for the people that are involved. For me, it's just a normal, everyday thing. It's just something that I do. But for the people that I help, well, it's pretty special. And I'm going to try to help as many people as I can through this program. So all you have to do, if you want to participate, is send me an email with what's going on. Be as specific as possible. And I will choose those emails that I'll address during this program and answer your questions. The email address to send it to is the initial J at JerryWills, W-I-L-L-S, .com. And as I said, I'll address those on the air. We've also received a few emails from folks who have gone to our other website, Expeditions Magazine. It's spelled with an X. XPED, so on and so forth, expeditionsmagazine.com. Those of you who are interested in ancient archaeology or forbidden archaeology, you know that there are things out there that modern science or the modern archaeological community doesn't want to admit to for some reason. I guess because it would make a person look rather foolish to their peers if they happen to be wrong. So why take a chance on being wrong? That's good science, isn't it? Anyway, get off my soapbox for a moment. The truth is, there are things out there that are just completely unexplainable. And those unexplainable items are things that we also get questions about, not just because of this program, because this program isn't that old, but we've gotten dozens and dozens of, well, hundreds of emails, really, over the years, people who have found things, who have questions, who want to go see things, everything from deep in the jungle in the Andes or the Amazon to deep underwater off Yonaguni Island off Japan. There's just a whole variety of things out there to left to be found. We've gotten details of things from, very remote areas in Russia and Afghanistan and Africa, just all over the world, and it's really quite astonishing when you hear these stories these folks have to relate. And then when you see the pictures, well, that certainly makes you want to pack a bag and go take it off to check it out. We believe, like I mentioned in the last program, that there was a time when people on this planet were also sophisticated, and then something happened and it knocked everyone down several pegs back to a very primitive life. And as a result of that, we've had to reinvent ourselves, if you will, and get back to a place to technological standing, which is where we are now. But that previous time in the Hopi tradition is called the Third World, and that's also the name of a program that Kathy and I are developing. So we're going to be going back down to South America to start filming that sometime between September and November of this year to do the first segments of it, and hopefully by spring we're going to have a complete program ready to put up on the internet, and hopefully several segments. Anyway, kind of got off on a tangent there, but we receive emails from folks who are interested in ancient archaeology, forbidden archaeology, things that are totally unexplainable. So if you have questions about this, or if you've found something, just, again, send an email, and I'll address it here. Whatever you guys are interested in, that's what I'm going to try to cover during the next programs. Now, at times, this program will be recorded on location wherever Kathy and I might be. And bear in mind that we do take our laptops with us and all of our recording equipment and our video cameras and the whole shoot and match, because we are involved in doing, of course, this program, but also involved in getting ready for the program, The Third World, that we're producing. So we have all of our equipment with us. There will be times that I will be recording this program in the Amazon jungle or in the Andes Mountains or God only knows where. And because of the magic of the internet, because it is everywhere, all I have to do is get to an internet cafe, and there are lots of them, believe it or not, even in these remote locations. And I'll upload the program, and you'll be able to listen to whatever that program is, addressing where we are, what we're doing, and so forth. So it should be quite an interesting time. I'm sure that we're going to also have people who will be guests during the course of this program's run, however long it is, and we're hoping it goes for a while. And these guests will be there to answer your questions or to just impart whatever it is that they know. And believe me, in some of these places you run into some of the most unusual people. Not that they're odd people, but the information is not what you would have expected. A good example of this: recently, while we were down in Peru, we met up with a gentleman who is an archaeologist, and for the life of me, he looked just like Sean Connery. Very knowledgeable, very intelligent man. He and I were talking as we were walking through the ruins of Ollantaytambo. Now, this is outside of Cusco, Peru. It's in a valley, and it's quite an astonishing ruins, quite an astonishing complex. Anyway, this fellow was telling me that there's a place up on the side of the mountain that the first day of summer or the first day of winter, that at sunrise, if you're up on the side of this mountain, you'll find that there is a seat that's been carved into the side of the mountain. Just a place for a person to sit. It's not huge or elaborate, and you have to know where to look to find it. Well, this this seat has a hole right square in the center. It goes right down into the mountain. Now, I haven't seen this, but I do plan on going to check it out. But this hole, before the sun comes up, light comes out of this hole. And he said he wouldn't have believed it if he hadn't seen it for himself, but he took lots of pictures, and he gives lectures at universities about the anomalous things that are found in the Andes. No one knows how this hole was made or why light comes out of it before the sun rises. That's an astonishing thing when you think about it. Light comes out of the hole. So, that kind of people that we run into, they have fascinating stories, they have very interesting things to talk to you about, and the information that that they have is fascinating. Just fascinating. And we run into people like this all the time. So, anyway, I won't go on and on about that, but I thought you might find it pretty interesting. So you'll be hearing from us from points unknown, thanks to the magic and the power of the internet. All right, the next thing we're going to get into, I think without any further delay, I want to go into some of the issues that you've written to me about, things that are on your mind that you're concerned with regarding your health, your state of being. So the first one I want to go to is a letter that was written to me, and I'm not going to mention any names. I'm just going to mention that I received it and what it's about. The first one I received was from a man who has this really red, rough, eczema type of patchiness on his skin, and it's spreading. And he asked me what we can do about this. Do I know what's causing it, and what would I suggest? Well, let me explain first of all that when you are toxic, and I use that term a lot, I throw it around a lot because it's a real good generic term. What it means is there's something inside of you that shouldn't be there. When you're toxic, your body is going to try to isolate what the toxin is and then move it out of your body. And it's either going to come out when you go to the bathroom, it's going to come through your breath, or it's going to come out through your skin. Now, I would bet that if we take a look at your frequency of having a bowel movement, you're going to be looking at not going every day. That would be my guess, my first guess. Because if you were, it wouldn't be coming out through your skin. Unless it's something that's so absolutely terrible and vile that is just the best possible thing to keep it away from your vital organs. Your body isn't stupid. It's going to take anything that is terrible and vile and try to move it out of your body, and first move it away from vital organs and then out of your body, getting it away, away, away. Now, with the red patchiness and the eczema symptoms, what I believe is happening is that it's trying to expel this toxicity out of your skin. I don't know what other conditions you may have, because you didn't list them. And for those of you who may want to send me requests for help, I need to know as much about you and what's going on with you as possible in order to really fully address the situation. But for the fellow that wrote, I would say that you're trying to eliminate the toxicity through the skin. That would tell me immediately that the liver is toxic and that the bowels are not working properly. So what you would want to do is you'd want to start a process of cleansing the bowels, number one, and once you get the bowels cleansed and operating every day, maybe a couple times a day, then you want to take a look at cleansing your liver. Now, there's a very good book by a fellow whose name is Andreas Moretz. It's called The Amazing Liver and Gallbladder Flush, and this book will tell you specifically how to clean your liver. Cleaning your liver is absolutely necessary. If you have any idea of what a filter is like, your liver is like a filter, but it's also a major chemical factory in your body. All kinds of things are happening in your liver. If there's anything in your liver that is inhibiting it from functioning at 100%, you can expect that you're not going to feel as well as you could, you're not going to have the energy that you could, and your body is going to start deteriorating in one way or another. One of the things that I've noticed about the liver because of my gift is that there are specialized areas of the liver that take care of specialized parts of the body. It isn't just that the liver is just a big filter and a big chemical manufacturing plant for hormones and enzymes and proteins and so forth, but there are specialized areas in the liver that are taking care of certain parts of the body. An example of this is if you have floaters. Floaters in your eye are the things you see floating around, and you don't know what the heck that is. Doctors tell you, well, there's nothing much you can do about it. Well, there is something you can do about it. You can clean your liver, because there's a part of your liver that is directly associated to the blood supply that goes to your eyes. And if that blood supply is not being handled properly, in other words, if it's not being cleaned properly, if the right nutrients aren't being transferred into that blood supply properly, then what you're going to have is something out of balance that's going to be going to your eyes, and your eyes need a lot of nutrition. The same can be said for your hearts, for your sex organs, for your skin, for a lot of the different parts of your body. Now, granted, there are things that our body manufactures when we're younger that it doesn't manufacture as we get older. There are lots of enzymes and, of course, hormones that continue to fall off until finally they just aren't there. And that's why people take things like DHEA and so forth to reinitialize the body with an external source because it isn't creating it on its own. But the liver is very important, and with this exaba that you were mentioning, that tells me that the lymphatic system is not carrying this toxicity down and into the bowels so that you can get rid of it and be rid of this altogether. Now, one of the things that I've discovered through the work with folks is that we get in touch with a lot of very caustic elements on a daily basis. I'm sure you've seen people using Pledge, furniture polish. I know you've seen people use things like Armor All and this sort of thing. These are not, they're not good for you. I'm trying to find the right word because I don't want to insult anyone, but these things soak right into your body. And when they do, the body's going, oh my God, what is this? And it's seeking to do something about it. And of course, the liver and other parts of the body are manufacturing proteins and enzymes and whatever to try and break this stuff down, to move it out, to get it away from vital organs, keep it away from the brain, keep it away from the heart. But still, because of what it is, it can't break it down. It's all synthetic. The body doesn't know how to deal with that stuff. It make it down somewhat, but what it breaks it down into is even worse than what it was originally. Now you've got a real problem. When this material is in the lymphatic system and it's just beneath the surface of the skin, and you get some sunlight on it, a good example is Armor All. You get that down to your system and the sunlight hits it, it can cause mutagenesis in the cells, which leads to, remember, I can't use some of these terms, it leads to things like cancer. Oops, I used the term. I meant canker. Anyway, it's where the cells degenerate. They're changed, they can't reproduce properly, and it ends up being a huge problem for the person. If you take a look at what the instance of skin cancer is worldwide, it isn't because there's better reporting. It's because there's poorer nutrition and more exposure to toxic elements that get lodged in our bodies. I would hazard to guess that if you had a blood test to see exactly how many toxic elements are in your body, you would have no fewer than 90, and probably well over 100 floating through your body all the time that are life-depleting, cell-depleting killing mechanisms in your body that are taking away from the quality of your life. All the time. That little splash of gas on your shoe that soaked into your foot. That little bit of oil that got onto your hand when you're checking your oil. The fresh car scent that you breathed in after you got your car all nice and cleaned up. But that isn't where it stops. Did you know that it's not good for you to eat antifreeze? Well, I bet you knew that. But why is it that so many people are eating it? And you're shaking your head going, wow, what is this guy talking about? Well, when you have something that's frozen and you put something over it that is very liquid, if it gets cold enough, it's going to freeze as well, right? And we're talking about ice cream. What do you think is in the topping to keep it from getting solid? They use propylene glycol. If you don't believe me, go grab your topping. Turn this up so you can keep listening to me. Go in the other room, grab the topping, and read the ingredients. Propylene glycol is antifreeze. How much antifreeze is good for a child to eat? How much is good for an adult? And how many times have you eaten it since you were a child? So how much of it have you had, and what has it done to you, and where is it? Because it really doesn't come out of the body very easily. It may seep through the skin, it may seep into your bowels, but it's a slow process. So, in my opinion, the problem you have with the eczema is one that is going to require you to do some serious cleansing, not just of your bowels, but also of your liver. And the best way that you can start moving things through your lymphatic system is going to be that you will use coconut oil that is unrefined, cold-pressed, and organic. Take a tablespoon of coconut oil and just down it, or put it on a salad if you can't stand it that way, or blend it into a drink or something, but get a tablespoon every day of coconut oil into your system. This is going to go through your lymphatic system, and it's going to thin it out and help it to move along these things that are trapped in the lymphatic system. The other part of this equation is nutrition, and without nutrition, you're going to have problems because your body cannot rebuild itself if it doesn't have the proper nutrition in order to pull nutrients and enzymes and minerals and so forth that your body recombines. It takes it apart, recombines it, and it creates new skin, new muscle, new bone, and so forth. So that's how I would go about suggesting that you do something about those red rashes and that red, scaly, rough skin that you've got. This will take some time. It doesn't happen overnight. And it didn't occur as a result of something that happened overnight. It may have shown up overnight, but you finally got to a point where you were way out of balance with the situation, and this is what you're going to need to do in order to correct the balance in your body. And it's going to take probably the better part of 6 months to a year before you have this completely removed from your body. The eczema may go away before then, but don't stop doing the detoxification for at least 6 months. It's going to take at least that long. All right. I hope that helps everyone else out there that may have a problem as well. So we'll be right back after this, and I'll address the next question.
You know, all this talk about the government illegally enforcing income tax and confiscating people's wealth is really making me angry. Especially when I just found out that I was conned into getting that damn Social Security number when there is no law requiring me to even have one.
Now, honey, don't get all worked up. Take this little fuchsia pill. You'll feel better about the new increases in socialism that our beloved leaders have just financed against our children.
That's right. Does the fast track to communism have you all uptight? Mellow out with Liberol. Yes, Liberol has all the chemicals proven effective by MKUltra and the FDA to put you at ease with the socialistic trend of today's government. Remember, Liberol. Tell your doctor you need Liberol.
You're listening to Channel U.
Hello, everyone. We're back. And I'm reading some of the emails and letters that you have sent me, requesting help, requesting information. So I'm going to move through a couple more of these. Like I mentioned before, it's always interesting to receive this kind of email from those of you out there who are wanting help, because it means that you are listening, that you are interested, and that you believe that what I have to say may be something that could help you. Maybe you've been in a situation where nothing else has worked. So hopefully, what I'm about to do to help you will be greatly beneficial. All right, let's take a look at the next message that I received. The next one is from a person that was asking me a question about some nerve damage. And essentially what they wrote is that there was an accident and that a nerve on the side of their face had been severed, and now they're suffering with a great deal of numbness and a loss of balance. Well, I've had experience with this in the past, and while I don't believe that there's a limitation to what God can do, my experience so far has been that I've not seen this once it's been surgically cut, or it's been cut as a result of an accident where there's a severance of the nerves, that I've been very successful in getting that to come back to life again. And I'm sure there are a variety of reasons physiologically for that, but I can tell you that I've worked on quite a few people who've had this kind of damage, and I've not seen that kind of improvement. Though I've tried and tried, and I've suggested all kinds of different modalities, the best I've been able to do is to send energy into it, and
are asking questions.
Well, it takes its own sweet time if it's going to come back at all.
I'm sure.
And in the case
of
one fellow,
those of you out there
working with,
who
are
trying to lose weight,
they had cut the
nerve.
Next letter is asking me, do I have any suggestions for being able to safely lose weight without going on the Atkins diet or this diet or that diet? Yeah, I do have some suggestions. Number one, it's important to understand why you gain weight in the first place. Remember what we were talking about earlier about good nutrition and detoxification? When you have toxic material in your body, this is going to go body-wide, and it's going to affect a great number of systems in your body. These systems include the hormonal system, among other things. And when you affect systems like this, you are basically slowing them down, and when you slow them down, they're not going to be working as well. When they don't work as well, well, guess what? You're not going to have the same results as you had when you're 18 years old. Now, granted, I see kids in here too that are 15 to 20 years old who have a weight control problem. And this brings us to the next level of why you might have a weight problem, and that is, and I mentioned it on the last program, it has to do with the synthetic hormones that are in milk and beef and chicken. This is given to these animals so that they will very quickly gain weight, and when they gain weight, of course, now they're going to bring a better price. They're fatter and juicier, and they don't get any exercise, so they're nice and chewy. Very tender meat. I guess that wouldn't chewy, would it? That's a character on Star Wars. Anyway, you get these synthetic hormones in your body, and it's going to play hell with your own hormonal structure. Now, like I mentioned in the last program, what is the result going to be if you give synthetic estrogens to a boy? Well, take a look around and see how many overweight boys there are, and you can kind of answer that question for yourself. And of course, we know what it does when you give it to a girl. She will mature much more rapidly. And there's scientific evidence to back this up. This isn't just me telling you that this is how it is, but there's actually scientific evidence to back it up. If you go on the internet, I'm sure you can find just a wealth of it. That's how I've come about a lot of my information, is by studying the research papers and the documents that scientists have put forth. Another reason for weight gain, well, your body doesn't like salt. No one's does. At least not the salt that you buy at the store. That salt is completely devoid of minerals. It is sodium chloride, and sodium chloride is a poison to your body. Did you ever notice that when you eat something that's very salty, that you feel like your fingers have swollen up a little bit? I know the women will identify with this right away. You feel like you put on some water weight. Well, you have, because your body is now holding on to water so it can circulate this sodium chloride around until it can get it out of your system through your kidneys. It puts a pretty good strain on a person's kidneys as well. Your body doesn't know how to take apart sodium chloride. Now, if you're using sea salt, and I'm not talking about the brand name, I'm talking about, you know, take ocean water, evaporate the H2O out of it, and you're left with all this mineralization, and it's very salty. That's sea salt. Sea salt has 92 minerals in it, and that's exactly what you need. If your body were completely healthy, you would have 92 minerals in your body. If a plant is very healthy, there'll be 92 minerals in that plant. If you eat the plant, you transfer the minerals to your body in an ionic state. If you drink the seawater, you can drink a little bit, and it's not going to do you any damage. If you drink a lot, yeah, it's going to really play havoc with your kidneys, among other things. You don't want to do that. But what you do want to try and do is to find Celtic salt. C-E-L-T-I-C, Celtic salt. It's kind of a dirty gray looking. It's very salty. It doesn't take very much. Start using that instead of regular household table salt. It also has, incidentally, a natural form of iodine, which is really good for your thyroid. Your thyroid uses iodine. It's part of its nutrition. Now, if you're using table salt, sodium chloride, it's been put through a wash, and as a result, the sodium and the chloride atoms have bound together. That's not natural. That's just a process that occurs when they use chemicals to wash salt to get out the different minerals that are in salt, and those minerals are good for manufacturing all the way through to explosives. When you use sodium chloride as table salt, of course it's salty. They put synthetic iodine in with the table salt. Have you ever seen iodine? Do you remember putting iodine on an owie? It isn't clear. It isn't invisible. Yet, somehow, magically, the iodine in table salt doesn't show up. And why is that? Well, because they bleach it. It's synthetic anyway. So they bleach it. And you don't see it, but it has iodine added. Now, when your thyroid takes a look at the iodine, it doesn't know exactly what that's all about. It tries to use it, and sometimes it becomes toxic with it, and other times it just expels it, and your thyroid just remains hungry for iodine. The end result is that you have a poison in your body. It all comes down to how toxic your body is as to where you are with the weight condition that you have. Now, it isn't just toxins from the environment or toxins from the food you eat. It's also toxins from emotions. Let me explain that. Sometimes we can get into a situation where we're so depressed or so anxious that it shuts down parts of our body that need to be operating in a very nice, even flow. And if we're working late, like I am tonight, and you need a little bit of a boost, maybe you're drinking a bit more coffee than you ought to. That happens to me. But maybe you're drinking soda. I do that too. that's going to be a stimulant that robs energy from someplace else in your body, which eventually leads you to a point of exhaustion, but you can't be exhausted. You still have a lot to do. And this builds and builds into an emotional pressure that eventually causes your body to start breaking down or not work properly. I know we've all heard the stories about the guy that worked himself to death, or the woman who worked herself to death. Just a type A personality, went for it, on and on and on and on, ended up with heart disease, and next thing you know, they're just all broken up and sitting, and they can't do a whole lot because they have this condition or that condition, or it just flat out killed them. That's what stress does to you. Stress, if you want to identify it and put it into understandable terms, stress is what you do to yourself. Pressure is what others do to you. We allow people to pressure us into doing things that we normally wouldn't do because we're smart enough to know that we need to stop. Yet, these external pressures compel us to move forward, and that creates an inner anxiety, and that inner anxiety is stress. That's what we do to ourselves, whether it's a guilty conscience or just the desire to go further and further and do more and more and more until it finally just wears us right down. I'm guilty of it. I'm sure many of you listening out there are also in the same boat. We get pressures, we get stressed out, and then we have to figure out what we're going to do with this problem of all the anxiety and all the tension and so forth. This is emotional toxicity. And here's something you can do about it. It's called meditation. It's called stopping and listening to the water on a tin roof during a storm. Although here in Phoenix you don't see water falling out of the sky unless a fire hydrant gets hit by a car. But you can do something about it. But you're going to have to find a way to do this. Now, one of the things for emotional toxicity that I've found are these recordings by the Monroe Institute. There are a number of them. I carry them. I have associates who also have a wide variety of them. The ones that I recommend are Higher. The next is Ascension. The next is Dream Seed. And another is called Sleeping Through the Rain. They're all fantastic. If you'll just take an hour and sit down and listen to it. Put on headphones, isolate yourself away from the rest of the world, and just listen. That's all you have to do. It'll do the rest. The Monroe Institute CDs are just amazing, and I use them all the time. Not that I'm trying to sell them, and this isn't an advertisement for them. I'm telling you, they work very well, and if you're emotionally toxic, this might be a good place to start. There are other things as well. One of the things that we don't get much of is exercise. And here in Phoenix, it's very hard to go out and walk around when it's 114 degrees out at 9 o'clock in the morning. You just don't do it. It's so dry that it stings your eyes, and when you take a breath, it kind of dries out the inside of your mouth. So you carry water with you, and I guess you get more exercise from carrying those gallon jugs, one in each hand. But when we're down in South America, we don't have that problem. We go up and down mountains and through jungles and so forth, and we get plenty of exercise, and that helps with the emotional toxicity as well. But what can you do to get rid of the weight? Well, my suggestion, aside from the things I've already mentioned, which are no-brainers, the thing I would mention next to help you get rid of weight is something that we've discovered called rhodiola rosea. Rhodiola is the name of a plant. Rhodiola rosea is the name of a plant that grows in northern China and in Siberia, in that part of the world. It grows about 14,000 feet in a very difficult and, for a plant, I would imagine, a rather stressful environment, because it really doesn't warm up that much at that altitude, although when the sun hits you, you know it. I could tell you stories
about being at 14 and 16 and 17,000 feet and how in the shade it's cold and in the sun it's hot and there is no in-between because the air is so thin. The unique thing about what this does to a plant is it caused it to adapt. And in its adaptation, it's created some very unique molecules within the plant that scientists are only now figuring out what they do and what they are. When you use rhodiola, it helps to eliminate stress out of your body. That's what we found, and that's according to some of the papers that we've read. And if you put it into a search engine, just look it up and read about it for yourself. Knowledge is power. I suggest this to all of my clients. R-H-O-D-I-O-L-A, next word, R-O-S-E-A. R-H-O-D-I-O-L-A, R-O-S-E-A, rhodiola rosea. We've discovered that when you relax the body in this way, that the byproduct of rhodiola is that you start losing weight. When I initially read about this in the research papers, I wasn't interested in the weight loss. Not that I couldn't stand to lose a few pounds, a few inches here and there, but moreover because how it seemed to relieve the body of stress. So I'm very interested in all manner of things like this. I figure if God made it, it must be perfect, so let's find out what it does for something else that God made, me. So I did, and what I discovered, and what Kathy has discovered, and several others who have used it, is that when you use rhodiola, within a few weeks you notice that your clothes are fitting you much more loosely than you're used to. I lost 2 inches off my waist. I think Kathy lost a size, maybe two sizes. Felt great. And it just worked phenomenally. It was just an excellent thing to use. So then we combined it with another herb from the Andes called maca, M-A-C-A, maca. This is another root. You use the roots from these plants. It isn't a root, but I mean that's what we use from the plant is the root. And this plant also grows at above 14,000 feet. The best maca comes from the Hunan Valley. The Hunan Plateau in the Andes. It's a very fertile soil, but above 14,000 feet. And maca, like rhodiola, is an adaptogen, which means it adapts itself so that it does no harm, only good to the body. There are no known side effects to either one of these things. As a matter of fact, the people in Peru eat maca as part of their food staple. When we combined maca with rhodiola, first of all, maca gives you more energy, or at least it seems like you have more energy, although there's no stimulant action involved in this at all. But we had more energy, we had greater endurance, and now we had less stress, and we were losing weight. It was a magic combination. As a result, Kathy decided she was going to research where she could find the purest maca and the purest laboratory-grade rhodiola, because rhodiola can come in several different varieties, and you want the 3%, 1%. If it says anything else aside from that, it's not what you're looking for. She found lab-quality, lab-grade rhodiola, and she found the purest, highest international certification for organic maca, and now she encapsulates both of these and we sell them here. So if you're interested in getting some maca or rhodiola, all you have to do is drop me an email, or you can call and leave a message. We'll call you back on our dime, and you can order maca and rhodiola from us and know that you're not getting any fillers, not getting anything in there that would be tainting it. Instead, you'll get 100% strength and quality from these two products. These two together with a good diet, and a good diet is essential, will help you to lose weight. If you've been having trouble losing weight, then this is something that I believe would be quite beneficial for you. Plus, it helps you to feel pretty darn good. Well, I'm going to close the mailbag now and go on to the next subject. And that subject is High Adventure. As you all know, Kathy and I are joining forces with Thomas Morton of Sacred Trips at sacredtrips.com. And in 2006, we're going to be leading several different expeditions down to South America, principally down to Peru. Now, one of the things that we're putting together, I think you'll find really interesting, and you may want to tell your friends about this if they've been wanting to go to see Machu Picchu and see the things down there that you hear us talking about on this program, and you've probably heard us on other radio programs when I've been interviewed. And that is these amazing sites, these amazing sacred places that we go to, the ceremonies that we are involved in when we go there, and the things that we do and the things we see. And I know that many of you have wanted to go and do this as well, but the cost has been prohibitive. And let's face it, it's not cheap to fly down to South America, although it's not as expensive as you might guess. Right now we are finding the tickets are around $650 round trip. And that is from, let's say, for example, from Phoenix. You'll spend about that much. If you make your way to Miami, or if you're close to Miami, Atlanta, Dallas, or Los Angeles, or you're somewhere else in the world, you can find these prices will range anywhere from $350 and up. So it really isn't horribly expensive to get a round-trip ticket to go down there and back. But then you have the land costs once you're there. Well, what Thomas, Kathy, Jane, that's Thomas's wife, and I have done is we've decided to come up with an economy trip. Now, the economy trip is not going to be shortchanging you on the experiences that you would have. The difference is the class of lodgings that you'd be staying in. When you go down to these places, you expect that the accommodations probably aren't that great. Well, actually they are. They're very nice, and there are some really very nice places to stay, and that's where we usually stay, is in the, you know, in the middle road, the three-star or the four-star hotels, where you have some of the amenities that we're all used to here in the United States, or for you in the other parts of the world. You know, they're things that you're just used to that make you comfortable. Well, we're going to put together an economy trip where we stay in hostels where you might have to share a bathroom. And that's about it. The beds may not be as comfortable as what you're used to, but then I've stayed in hostels and I found the beds to be pretty much the same. You don't get a wide variety of comfortable mattresses when you're down in South America, unless you're spending $300 or $400 a night, and then you're going to be in a five-star luxury resort, and they do import mattresses from Italy and other places in Europe, as well as the United States. So what you're going to find is that on an economy trip, the one I'm suggesting, and the one that the four of us have worked out, you're going to be spending hundreds of dollars less to be able to go on one of these trips and see the things that we've seen and do the things that we do. Because let's face it, it doesn't matter what you're spending on accommodations. The price of getting into Machu Picchu remains the same. The price of going by train to Machu Picchu remains the same. The cost of a taxi or your airfare from Lima to Cusco, it all remains the same. The difference is in how much it costs you for that room that is figured to be a standard nice room. But if we put it together in such a way that we have really good accommodations in hostels, it's going to save hundreds of dollars off the cost of a trip. So that's what we're doing. I realize after all these years that there are so many people who want to do this kind of trip, but they just couldn't afford the $2,500 that it costs, which is in addition to your international airfare. So what we're going to try to do, what we're going to do, is we're going to put together a 10-day trip, an 8 to 10-day trip, and this trip will be maybe somewhere in the neighborhood of half the price. So If you want to be on the mailing list and know about when this trip is being offered, and there will be at least two offered during 2006, then just drop an email to me, J, just the initial J, at jerrywills.com. I'll put you on the email list, and when these trips become available, then you'll know. You'll know when it's going to happen, you'll know what it's going to cost, and you can start planning for it. I know there are a lot of you out there who are asking for this sort of thing. Now, for the others of you who are listening, where that really isn't an issue, you don't mind spending a little extra to have a little bit more comfort, then I suggest you take a look at some of the other trips that we're going to be offering. Now, we're going to have a few new things also in 2006, and what we're going to be offering during 2006 are some adventures. These adventure packages are going to be such that you can go rafting down the Amazon for 12 days. Or you can come with Kathy and I as we're filming our made-for-internet TV show, The Third World, and you can assist us and be with us as we go into some of these very remote locations. It isn't dangerous. It isn't, there isn't any hazard involved at all. I certainly wouldn't want to put myself into that position, and I wouldn't want to put Kathy or our kids into that position either. So I invite you to join us for one of those. And all you have to do is just let us know you're interested, and we'll let you know when these are available and what the prices are going to be. Now, what's it like to travel to a third world country? For those of you who haven't ever done this, I'd like to let you know that It isn't dangerous, it isn't scary, it is like a different world, but that's because it is. It's another part of the world, it's vastly different than what you're used to, but it isn't scary and it isn't dangerous. You'll find that people everywhere really like to be treated with respect and dignity, and if you give this kindness, then you receive that kindness in return. When Kathy and I went into some of the very dangerous areas down in South America looking for lost cities, the only thing we had going for us, aside from the fact that our guides were very knowledgeable, was the fact that we didn't act like we were afraid. We just acted friendly. We were just having fun with the people. Kathy made a swing for this one group of children in this village, and they'd never had a swing before. So we took one of our climbing ropes, attached it to a tree, and we made them a swing. They were really happy. We brought bags and bags of hot chocolate, and so we fixed up hot chocolate for everyone that was in the village, and they loved it. So you get back what you give, is what I'm saying. As far as shots go, nah, there's no really... There really isn't any need for shots. You've heard of malaria. You're not going to take a shot for malaria anyway. But where we go, the incidence of malaria is very, very low. Chances of you getting malaria are slim to none. In the 15 years that we've been going to South America, I've had two people come down with malaria. And both of those cases were the result of the people not listening to the suggestions that we gave them to use insect repellent. If they had used that, they wouldn't have gotten bitten, they wouldn't have gotten malaria. There are a few common sense things that you just have to pay attention to, and you don't have a problem. As far as being concerned about vast numbers of insects and snakes and all kinds of unknowns that are waiting for you to attack you, no, that's not the case. The jungle is a very beautiful place. There are areas that you won't see that, if you go with us anyway, that are dangerous, but where we go, it is still the jungle, but you're not going to be in a situation where you're going to be worried or concerned about the things that are out there, because it's a very tame environment. You're in the jungle, but it's a part of the jungle that's been, I guess, tamed a little bit. As far as going into the mountains, there really isn't anything to be worried about going into the mountains. So really, in a nutshell, with all the things that, Kathy and I have done, all the places we've been, we've seen very little in the way of things that would concern most people. The food is different, but you can also find food that you like. So, you know, in a nutshell, I just wanted to kind of cover those things so that if you had questions about it, it might kind of ease your concerns. These journeys are loosely based on a book by James Redfield titled The Celestine Prophecy. And maybe in the next show, I'll go into some of the particulars about the things we've seen as we've experimented with the different insights. If you haven't read this book, I highly suggest it. It's a very interesting book. So I think that that's pretty much all for this show. That's all for now. Send your requests for help or for information, and I will answer them on this program. It's been a pleasure being with you this evening, and I look forward to our next show. Until then, be kind to each other, and remember, an act of kindness is never wasted.
You've been listening to Jerry Wills on Channel U, Internet Radio. For more information about Jerry and the work that he does, please go to www.jerrywills.com. That's JerryWills.com. And follow the links. Also, we invite you to visit Expeditions Magazine. That's Expeditions Magazine.com, where you'll find a wealth of information on all kinds of subjects dealing with forbidden archaeology and ancient mysteries. Thank you for listening. Until next time, good night, everyone.